Today, we'd like to see the title of Gideon's ministry in Judges, chapters 7 and 8. Question 1 in chapter 7, verse 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapters 7:15. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 3, in chapter 8, verse 3. "God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Jair. And what was I able to do in comparison with you?" Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. What does it mean in the context, and how can you apply it to our lives? First, you may see the 12 judges in the book of Judges with tribe and parcels. Right hand side is in the book of Judges, chronological order there. Also, we have a continuous judges, Eli and Samuel, the last judge. So total is 14 judges in the entire scriptures. So you may read it on background there. Chapter 7, verse 1. "Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley." Verse 2, "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, My own hand has saved me.'" Question 1, verse 2. "God declared that Israel's army of 32,000 was still too large. Although the Midianite army numbered about 135,000, that is represents next chapter, verse 10. "If Israel weren't with such a force, they would boast, 'My own hand has saved me,' instead of giving glory to God. God deliberately reduced their strength so that their victory should unmistakably belong to Him. God often works through human weakness so that His power alone receives the glory. Self-sufficiency becomes an enemy of faith when it causes us to trust our own abilities rather than depend upon God. Every victory and every blessing belong to the Lord alone. Thus, all glory must be given to Him." Cross-reference right there. Verse 3. "Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." God first dismissed those who were fearful and trembling, leaving only 10,000 men. Fear reveals a heart focused more on the enemy than on God's promises. Close reference there. Fearful soldier could easily spread panic and discourage others during battle. God seeks servants who work by faith rather than by fear. Verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and over whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laughs from the water with his tongue as a dog laughs, you shall set apart by himself, likewise everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who leapt, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who leapt, I will save you, and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. God further tested the remaining men at the water, those who carelessly knelt and buried their faces into the water were dismissed, while 300 who cupped the water in their hands remained. Although Scripture does not explicitly explain why this method was chosen, these men demonstrated greater alertness and readiness while drinking. God sovereignly selected them to accomplish His purpose. God's servants should remain spiritually alert and watchful while carrying God His word. That's a cross-reference right there. Then it's verse 8. So the people took the provisions and their trumpet their hand, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. 10. If you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servants, and you shall hear what they say. And after it, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Verse 10 to 11, although Gideon believed it, he still struggled with fear before the battle. Rather than rebuking him, God graciously strengthened his faith by sending him into the enemy camp to overhear a conversation. God understands our weakness and often strengthens our faith as we begin to obey Him. God strengthens those who take the first step of obedience. Verse 12, now the Midianite and Amalite, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley of Jumurs as locusts, and their camels were without number, as it is sand by seashore in multitude. The Midianite, Amalite, the eastern peoples, that is the enemy of Israel, filled the valley like swarms of locusts, and their camels were as countless as the sand on the seashore. The Midianite were descendants Abraham through Keturah. Although Moses once found refuge among them and married the Midianite woman, they later became persistent enemies of Israel because of their opposition to God's covenant people. Verse 13-14, And when now the Midianite Amalekites is annihilated, verse 12, so verse 13, and when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent, struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Verse 14. Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." Midianite soldier dreamed of a barley loaf rolling into a camp, overturning a tent. His companion interpreted the dream as God's promise to deliver Midian into Gideon's hand. Barley was considered poor man's grain, was much less than wheat. Likewise, Gideon's small army appeared insignificant compared to Midian's overwhelming force. Yet God delights in using what appearance weak and significant to accomplish his purposes for his glory. Close reference there. Verse 15. And it was when Gideon heard the telling of a dream and its interpretation that he worshipped, he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." After hearing the dream and its interpretation, Gideon immediately worshipped the Lord before returning to encourage his men. Worship begins with a heart that turns its focus from circumstances to God's sovereignty. We can worship anywhere when we acknowledge his greatness in spirit and truth. Very close reference, verse 16. Then he divided 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me, do likewise, watch ye, and when I come to edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpet on every side of the whole camp, and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of middle watch, just as they had post the watch, and they blew trumpet and broke the pitchers that were in their hand. The attack began at the beginning of the middle watch, around midnight, immediately after the changing of the guard. This was the ideal moment to create maximum confusion in the enemy camp. Verse 20. Then the three companies blew trumpet, broke the pitchers, they hold the torches in their left hand, trumpet in their right hand for the blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. The whole army ran and cried out and fled. The 300 men blew their trumpet, broke their jars, revealed their torches, and stood in their assigned positions. God caused a panic throughout the Midianite camp. Israel's victory came not through military strength, but through obedient faith. God demonstrated that success depends upon his power rather than human resources. Cross reference there. Verse 22. When the 300 blew the trumpet, the Lord set every man's sword against the companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Akiah toward Gerar, as far as the border of Abel, Meholah, and Taboth. 23. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianite. 24. Then Gideon sent a messenger throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianite and siege from them to watering places as far as Beth Barah and Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together in cities, the watering places, as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. Gideon called the tribe of Ephraim to seize the Jordan crossing to prevent the fleeing Midianites from escaping. 25, they captured two princes, Midianites, Oreb, Jeban. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, Jeab they killed at the winepress of Jeab. They pursued Midian and brought the head of Oreb to Jeab, Gideon, on the other side of the Jordan. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Now the men of Ephraim said to him, "Why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites?" And they reprimanded him sharply. So he said to them, "What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the prince Midian, Oreb, Jeab. And what was I able to do in comparison with you?" Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. This is question 3, verse 3. Ephraimite complained because Gideon had not invited them to participate in the initial battle. Gideon responded with remarkable humility and diplomacy, praising the latter victory of Midianite leaders, Oreb, Jeab. Pride seeks recognition, but humility promotes peace. Cross reference there. Verse 4, when Gideon came to Jordan, he and 300 men who were with him crossed over just about still in pursuit. Then he said to men of Sukkah, "Please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing Jeber and Jembra, kings of Midian." And the leaders of Sukkot said, "Are the hands of Jabez, Jalman, now in your hand, that you should give bread to your army?" So Gideon said, "For this cause, when the Lord has delivered Jabez, Jalman into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars." Then he went up there to Penuel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Sukkot had answered. So he also spoke to the man Penuel, saying, "When I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower." The leader Sukkot Penuel refused to provide food for Gideon just the soldiers because they feared the retaliation if Gideon failed. They trust the human circumstance rather than God's promise of the victory. Whenever God invites us to participate in His work, we should gladly support it with our time, resources, abilities, and prayers, knowing that His purpose will prevail always. Then it's 10 to 11. Now Jeba, Jaluma were at the Kal court, and their armies with them, about 15,000 old, were left all the army, the people of the east, for 120,000 men who drew the sword and had fallen. Then Gideon went up by the road of those who dwell in the tents on the eastern Nobah and Jokbeha, and he attacked the army while the camp felt secure. While Jeba and Jalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took two kings of Midian, Jeba and Zebulun, and routed the whole army. Midian fled into eastern desert among the nomadic tribes, assuming Gideon would not pursue them that far. Gideon unexpectedly continued the pursuit and defeated them. Verse 13, then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle and the ascent of Harris, and he caught a young man of the men of Sukkot and integrated him. He wrote down for him the leaders of Sukkot and his elders, 77 men, 15 to 17. Then he came to men of Sukkot and said, "Here are Jeba, Jalmunna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, 'Are the hands of Jeba, Jalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread to your weary man. And he took the elders of the city, thorns of wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the man of Sukkoth, and he tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the man of the city. And he said here, after the victory, Gideon punished the leaders Sukkoth and Penuel for refusing to help Israel during God's appointed mission. Although scripture records these actions, it does not clearly state whether every aspect of Gideon's punishment reflected God's perfect will. The narrative simply records what occurred. Verse 18. And he said to Jeborah, Zamula, what kind of man were they whom you killed at Tabor? And they answered, as you are, so were they, each one resembled the son of a king. Then he said, they were my brothers, the sons of my brother, as the Lord lives. If you had let them live, I would not kill you. And he said to Jethro, his firstborn, rise, kill them. But the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid, because he was still a youth. So Jebra and Jemuna said, rise yourself and kill us, for as a man is, so is his strength. So Gideon rose, killed Jebra and Jemura, and took the crescent ornaments were on their camels' necks. 22 and 23. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Israel wanted Gideon and his descendants to establish a hereditary monarchy. Gideon wisely refused, declaring, the Lord shall rule over you. He recognized that Israel's true king was God alone. Close reference there, 24:27. Then Gideon said to them, I would like to make a request of you. Then each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. So they answered, we will gladly give them. And they spread out of a garment to each man through into it, the earrings from his plant. Now the weight of a gold earring he will cast was 1,700 shekels, gold beside the descendant ornaments, pendants, and purple robes which were on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were around their camel's neck. Then Gideon made it into an ephod, set it up into his city, Ophrah. And all Israel played the howler with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. Although Gideon refused the kingship, he would cast the gold earrings from the support and use them to make an ephod, placing it in Ophrah. An ephod was originally a priestly garment associated with the seeking God's will. Gideon may have intended it for honor purposes, but it eventually became an object of idolatry and a spiritual snare for himself and Israel. Even good intentions can become dangerous when they replace a wholehearted devotion to God. Even faithful servants must guard against the compromise efforts spiritual success. 28 here. There's a Midian was subdued before the children of Israel so that they lifted their heads no more, and the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Joashi, went to dwell into his own house. Gideon had 70 sons who were his own offspring, for he had many wives, and his concubine who was in Shechem also bore him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. Gideon had many wives and fathered 70 sons, including Abimelech by concubine. Although Gideon proved faithful on the battlefield, his family life revealed serious weaknesses. His relationship with the concubine eventually produced Abimelech, whose actions brought tragedy upon Israel, Judges 9, next chapter. Spiritual victories do not eliminate the need for continual vigilance. Believers must remain watchful after success because Satan often attacks the following seasons of victory. Story 2. Now Gideon, the son of Joash, died at a good old age, was buried in the tomb of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abijahites. So it was as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made the Baal beareth their God. The children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side, nor did they show kindness to the house of Zerubbabel or Gideon, in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. After Gideon's death, Israel quickly turned back idolatry, worshipping Baal of the covenant. They forgot the Lord who had delivered them and failed to show kindness to Gideon's family. We covered all the questions. You may continue to keep on prayers, all mission, cooperating the mission area in a foreign country. So right now, certain groups working in Japan, mission to VBS, keep on praying for them. Right now is a hurricane calm, so God's continuity protection on those mission journey. Also, we are praying for all missionaries on brochures. Okay, let's sing all together on brochure, the last song, Maranatha song. Praise the Lord.